This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the final hour of power here on this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham taking up the 10 Tech Talk Live following myself here. A little Wizards update for you. 11:32 left to go in the opening, in the fourth quarter. Wizards up 92-96 over the Atlanta Hawks. Jordan Poole's got 20. Bilal Coulibaly, a career high, 24 points, man. And he's doing it on 10-12 shooting. I can't believe it, man. I mean, this group, they're battling right now against a Hawks team that I wouldn't say has super high expectations, but you talk to folks around the league, man, they're a lot higher on Atlanta than they are on Washington. And what I'm loving about this group, man, you can talk about, oh, we want to play defense. We want to play defense. You can talk about playing defense all the hell you want. They actually did it, man. This has been an elite defensive effort. They're sharing the rock. Like, they look good right now, man. And Alex Sarge just knocked down his second triple. Let's go. Wizards up 7 with 10:30 left to go in regulation. I just tweeted it. This group is so damn fun to watch, man. Dude, Johnny Davis is getting crucial minutes right now in the fourth quarter because his ass defends. Doesn't matter what the previous regime thought about him. He's here and he's bought in. Love it.
Does it matter that it's the Hawks?
Well, see, thank you for being, you're like truth serum.
Sorry.
You're like Honest Abe. No, it's real, though. It is Atlanta. Like I said a moment ago, yes, it's Atlanta. But, man, all the prognosticators this summer, well, we for damn sure thought the Hawks would have a better record than the Wizards. We think the Hawks would be a better team than Washington. And right now, man, Alex Starr's got 5 blocks. Alex Starr's got 5 damn blocks on the night, man. It's impressive to watch. They're playing really good basketball right now, man. And I love that the young pups are getting so much time, and they're playing the right way.
As long as they don't end up being like the Chicago White Sox of the NBA. That's all we're looking for here from the Wizards to me.
Mm-hmm.
Is I don't want to be that basement-dwelling, 12-win team on the year.
Right.
Which would probably be the equivalent of the Chicago White Sox, who only won like 40 games in 162 game season.
Yeah. I mean, these young Wizards up 10 now with 9:50 left to go in regulation. I mean, shooting the hell out the basketball. I mean, this is fun to watch. I mean, this is my first love almost, man. Obviously, I love the Redskins Commanders, but like I'm just as passionate about the Wizards. Seeing this from this group, I'm loving it, man. I am loving it. It's beautiful to watch. 1-800-636-1067. We told you, right? We told you we'd take a spin around the NFL real quick. I want you to hear. I don't know if I got it over to you yet, Vic. I want you to hear. Well, first, before we let you hear from Tom Brady, Anthony Richardson was benched by the Indianapolis Colts. And to me, and I've gone back and forth with folks on social media, the Anthony Richardson discourse is genuinely fascinating to me. I think I saw it online. He's got something like 117 career pass attempts to this point in his career. And they're already sending him to the bench. And I was pretty passionate about it on Twitter, man. I don't get what the thought process is here from Indy, right? You drafted this kid last year. You know he's a damn project, right? Didn't play a lot at Florida. You know it, like you know what it is going into it. He's somebody that's going to take you some time, but if you can be patient, right, the gold at the end of the rainbow will give you a lifetime's fortune. He's that type of dude. We know what he is as a runner. He leads the NFL in yards per attempt, but he's dead last in completion percentage. Does that show you at all how Indianapolis is functioning right now offensively? I'm just saying. And I've made excuses for him, I will admit, right? I don't watch Colts games, but I do read the discourse surrounding the team. I do listen to other well-informed, respected voices on Anthony Richardson. And this is my thing with him. And I'm not in the building on an everyday basis, so I don't know. If he was playing better, the tap out that happened Sunday wouldn't be as big of a story as it is. It just wouldn't. And right now, we're going all over the place here, but when we come back, we'll get into the Wizards some more. I'm going out on a limb. The Wizards have the best rookie class in the NBA. The leading scorer for this rookie class is Bub Carrington. And the guy leading this rookie class in rebounds is Alex Saar. And now all three of their first-round rookies have scored in double figures tonight. If you're Will Dawkins, boy, I'm pulling me up some bourbon tonight. If I'm Will Dawkins, Travis Schlenk, Mike Winger, I even want to give credit to Brian Keefe. I'm drinking tonight, man. This is a good effort from this young Wizards team against a Hawks team that, yeah, two solid vets, right? And Trae Young and Clint Capella. Okongwu off the bench has been around a little bit. Larry Nance, Garrison Matthews, former Wizard. It's a good team you're playing right now, and you're balanced scoring wise. Everybody's defending. It's been fun to watch, bro. It really has been. But no, the Anthony Richardson situation to me is fascinating because never do I ever remember a team giving up on a guy this quick. Now, obviously, the Panthers with Bryce Young is different, but even then, right? They gave Bryce Young all of last year. Anthony Richardson got hurt early on, so. For this group, Alex Saar is cooking right now. Just hit a nice turnaround free throw line jumper over Clint Capella. The boy's balling. I just think for the Panthers to give up on him so quickly, man. I don't know. I don't know. Talk about the Colts rather. For the Colts to give up on AR so quickly, man, doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. One, this team, they're going to a 40-year-old Joe Flacco. Right now, when you look at the playoff standings, right, in the AFC, technically, yes, the Colts are right in the thick of the playoff picture. They're 4-3, right? They got a big game, or 4-4, rather. They got a big game Sunday night against Minnesota. But in reality, right, like, they're not going anywhere. The Colts aren't supposed to be some sort of playoff team. Yet they're pulling the plug on their quarterback because they're trying to win now. Shane Steichen is in year number two as the head coach of this team. So to think that his seat is hot at this juncture is ludicrous. But you know whose seat might actually be hot? General manager Chris Ballard, who has been there since 2017, leading drafts. Maybe it's a situation where his seat's warm. But, man, I don't know. It's an interesting situation. It really is. I hope Anthony Richardson doesn't get left on the bench for too long. But, man, it don't look pretty, right? When you're the regime that benches the young pup and you drafted him a year ago, you know that it was going to take some time. So for them to pull the plug right now after 117 pass attempts, whew, tough to stomach. Tough to stomach. Someone that has tremendous perspective on the quarterback position is former Patriots Hall of Famer Tom Brady, now Fox NFL analyst. He had this to say. Vic, if you got it ready. He had this to say about the development of the quarterback position and how it's changed over the years.
There used to be college programs. Now there are college teams. You're no longer learning a program. You're learning a playbook. And the program is ultimately like at Michigan. For me, that was a pro-style program. 5 years, I got to learn how to drop back pass, to read defenses, to read coverages, to be coached. I had to learn from being seventh quarterback on the depth chart to moving up to third to ultimately being a starter. I had to learn all those things in college. That was development. Then I went to New England, and I was developed by Coach Belichick and the offensive staff there. I didn't start my first year. I think it's just a tragedy that we're forcing these rookies to play early. But the reality is the only reason why they are is because we dumbed the game down, which has allowed them to play. It used to be thought of at a higher level. We used to spend hours and hours in the offseason and training camp trying to be a little bit better than next year. But I think what happens is it discourages the coaches from going to deep levels because they realize the players don't have the opportunity to go to a deep level, so they're just going to teach them where they're at.
Yeah, I mean, for him to give that type of perspective, knowing the way his college career went, he didn't start till the very end of his time in Ann Arbor. Like, that's the perspective I want to hear on the situation. You know, it's frustrating to watch it happen because it's happened to other guys too. Like, Dwayne Haskins, God rest his soul, I thought wasn't given proper development time. Right, Anthony Richardson. I would say Bryce Young, but I continue to tell y'all, man, Bryce Young was never going to work. You show me the last time in the NFL we've seen a 4'11 quarterback have any type of success. It's just not. There's no track record for it. There's no precedent for that stuff. So I knew Bryce Young wasn't going to be worth nothing. But like a guy like a Mac Jones. Mac Jones was thrown into the fire, and Mac Jones was thrown into the fire, and it worked out well at first, but it doesn't look so good. It doesn't look so hot. We got to pull the plug on this kid. I don't know, man. And I'm all for the young kids playing. I said it about Jaden. You got to play to get experience. To me, at quarterback, the best experience is on-the-job training. You're going to have your bumps and bruises. I mean, at the end of the day, you got to play to get better at that position. It's all about reps. You don't get them in practice during the regular season. So if you're not playing as a rookie, how are you truly developing? Scout team reps? Not even running your own damn system? Miss me with that. 1-800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lounge. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BCP. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will continue to talk all things DC family. I'll give you an update on the Washington Wizards on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere. This is The Fan. This group is fun. Like, this is fun, dude. They're up 16 right now at home against the Atlanta Hawks, 125-109. 4:18 left to go. And I just want to say this. For all of you Jordan Poole haters out there, and I know there's a lot of y'all, because I feel like I went back and forth with a lot of folks all year long, even through Jordan's struggles last year. For all of you Jordan Poole haters, bro, look at tonight's contest. Look at the way he started the year. First of all, let's just continue to give credit where credit's due. First Wizard in franchise history to open up the season with at least 4 threes in all 4 games. I mean, it's never happened before. And then for all the folks that, oh, he's selfish and this and that, 9 assists tonight. He's averaging 7 on the year to start. 24 points, 6-17 shooting, 4-9 from beyond the arc. It's efficient. Watching this kid play right now is fun, and he's competing his ass off defensively. Another 3 steal performance from him tonight. He leads the NBA in steals. Him and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander here to start, so I've been impressed, and you know, folks are going to say, oh, it's Atlanta. these habits that you're forming right now against Atlanta for a young, impressionable team like the Wizards. Bear with me here. This is why I think this is real. It's two games in a row they've competed their ass off defensively. The Wizards are the type of young, impressionable team that, like, the habits should form quickly. And I think last year they didn't have the personnel to be good defensively. This year, adding Jonas Valanciunas, bringing in another good perimeter defender like Keyshawn George and Bob Carrington, like that stuff to me, like that, they now have it in terms of the Alex Saar, how did I forget about him? They now have the personnel to be a good team defensively, and I think that is probably what excites me the most. So I got some numbers for you all. You know I'm a numbers nerd. This was a story done by Tom Habistro of YahooSports.com. The rookie class's leading scorer, talking about the NBA. Remember all the talk and scuttlebutt we had this summer, right? Oh, this class is terrible. Oh, this class ain't going to be able to do nothing. Where do we find the gem? Who is the superstar in the class? Right? All summer we wondered about this draft class and how they would look during the regular season. Folks were really down on them leading into the draft, the whole draft process. Like, it's just what it was with this group. So the leading scorer in the NBA's 2024-25 rookie class is Bob Carrington. Bob Carrington, the Wizards' first-round pick. I believe it was number 14 overall. They acquired him via the Denny Avdia deal. Bob Carrington, the 14th overall pick, is leading this class in scoring at 8.6 points per game. Not a single rookie has scored 15 points in a game yet or played more than 30 minutes in a game. Well, that ends tonight because Keyshawn George has played 31 minutes tonight. Bob Carrington has played 29 minutes tonight. It's unprecedented. It is literally the returns on this rookie class through the first four games is unprecedented. And the best three rookies right now in the NBA, and maybe I'm biased, are playing for the Wizards. Now, I'll say this about my man. If y'all watched Alabama, man, Jamal Shedd got drafted by Toronto. He's playing pretty well. But still, there isn't that guy in this class yet to this point. And, hey, it is what it is, man. I don't look at it and think that everybody in the class sucks. I think there's four games in, and the sample size is small. And we just haven't seen a lot yet. But I know Bub, Keyshawn George, Alex Saar, I know what they're made of. Bub showed you some of his Baltimore tonight. Trey, he got a hard foul committed by Garrison Matthews. Rather, he's ready to whoop his ass. That's the Baltimore and Bub Carrington. Like, those guys got heart. It's fun to watch. And I want to continue to get credit, man. I was skeptical of Brian Keefe because think about last year why Wes Unseld Jr. was fired or moved up to the front office. They were not playing hard consistently. They weren't. And when Keefe took over as the interim, that did not change right away. They were still very inconsistent in that area. But the player development has been huge. You talked to Bilal. And get to talk to Bilal quite a bit, being in that locker room as frequently as I am. You talk to Bilal, man, Bilal credits Brian Keefe for his development. You talk to Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole will tell you straight up and down, Brian Keefe was the guy in my corner all year last year. Brian Keefe was the guy that pushed for me to get pushed on the ball. So notice, Brian Keefe takes over as the head coach. Jordan Poole's a point guard. He wanted to do that. Didn't have to say so to do it. So I think this group, I don't know how many games they're going to win, right? They're getting ready to go on they had a very interesting stretch in their schedule coming up here where they're about to go on a massive, massive road trip. They're in Mexico Saturday to take on Miami. Then they're home for Golden State next Monday. Then they're at Memphis, at Orlando, at Houston, at San Antonio, at Atlanta, five games at home. Then you're back at home for the Pistons. Then you're on the road for a significant chunk again. So Thanksgiving time, first week of December, I think you have a better gauge on what the season's going to be. Still then, it's early. But I look at it from like a competing standpoint and how hard they're playing. The last two nights in particular against Atlanta. Now, granted, it's Atlanta. The last two nights in particular, the way that they have competed, you can't argue with it, man. You simply can't argue with it. And I'll even take it a step further. You're doing this tonight with no Kyle Kuzma, who was your offense the other night in Atlanta when you couldn't. You shot the ball well from three, but like the consistency wasn't there as a unit. So for them to be able to fill in those holes, it's been fun to watch, man. It really has been. It really has been. This Wizards team, I'll continue to say it. I don't know how many games they'll win, but they are going to be a fun out. Another non-Wizards story real quick here. Bronny James scored his first bucket in Cleveland as the Lakers are getting punished by the Cavaliers. Dan Quinn, head coach of the Washington Commanders. We'll let you hear from him coming up next on Overtime. Welcome back. It's Overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham taking you up to 10 o'clock right now. I want to go out to Ashburn and hear from the head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn, after the first day of practice for the Burgundy and Gold as they get geared up for another NFC East game against the New York Giants.
As we get started for today, for us, that's back to competition Wednesday. And we have really established a precise nature in getting ready, and we never assume it. And that's why we put the work in. And the process of the week is really, really important, what we do on Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, because all that work has to be done before go time. And so you can't look ahead to the game. You just have to stay right in it, and that's where we're at today. So glad to get rocking with you guys, if you want to open it up.
Starting with a specific one, how close is the linebacker tandem of Bobby and Frankie to what you guys imagined when you signed them back in March?
I think a lot has come to life for that in terms of the blitzing, in terms of how we feature the guys. I think Joe's done a really good job, and Ken as well, of knowing what everybody's strengths are. Obviously, with Bobby, it was easier to see that with Ken's history and my history with him. But with Frankie, I had a really clear vision of what he could become. What I didn't know as much was the energy and the confidence and all the support he brings as a teammate. And that has been a really big lift for our team.
With Bobby specifically, you've known him forever. How has he evolved the most, I guess, since you first got with him in 13?
Definitely from the communication aspect. And I thought in this last game, it was really him at his best, where there were some calls that had to get checked and communicated back to people. And then after the last second, step around somebody to make a tackle. But I thought in this game, he really demonstrated real poise about it. And he always has that. But there was another level, I thought, that it went to in and out of checks to go because of the nature of Chicago's offense with the shifting and the motioning to go and on the ball. So some of the calls he made on himself, not from the sideline.
Do you have an update just on how Jaden's feeling coming out of the game, but also Cornelius and Brandon Coleman?
Yep, I'll hit you on all three of them. So Jaden will do some practice today. Brandon Coleman is doing well, and he'll also work back into practice, and Cornelius Lucas won't with his ankle injury. So we'll see where he looks like as the week goes, but both Jaden and Brandon will get some practice in today.
Well, is Jaden's injury something you'll just have to kind of monitor as the season goes on?
Yes.
The rookie class, I mean, you've gotten some really strong contributions from pretty much most of them at this point. I mean, how have they kind of come along? How have they developed in your mind?
Yeah, that's an awesome question, Nikki. I think what makes me think about those guys first is like the maturity of this group. And they have, really leaned into one another and spend a lot of time together, whether that's, Yossi McCaffrey and others that just on the field, off the field, the spending the time. But they were really ready for the challenge. And I think some of that comes with their maturity. A lot of them have been 4 or 5 year guys into that space. So they've really bonded. And the older guys have a lot of respect and regard for him because of the way they compete, and they can be counted on. I think the older players, that's what you want to see in a young guy. Can this guy help us? Will he be the same? Will he deliver? And so when they're able to do that, that's a big deal.
You have a win like this. Have there been teams in the past that maybe you worry how they respond, and how and what gives you the confidence that this team will respond exactly the way you want them to?
Yeah, it's a great question, John. I think because of the precise nature that we do to get ready, it does allow you to get right back into it. You know, all the things that we have to do on a Wednesday and a Thursday and a Friday. And so today we spend so much time on tackling and breaking tackles, and then tomorrow it's into the ball and ball securities and takeaways. Happy New Year. And then the after that on to Friday, you know, winning time moment. So we really work hard at that, John, to make sure the process of the week can take care of all the learning. So it doesn't leave you a lot of time for that. And then also tell the truth is a big part of it, too, because to be a good team, you have to handle the stuff. And the stuff can be a lot of things, from injuries or a big win or anything that comes down the pike. And so handling the stuff, it's something that we talk about with them. I'd rather have the discussion about it than not. And so handling the stuff is part of becoming a good team, and you have to prove you can do that.
And then with Jaden, he's had some touchdown passes that are big time throws that are have low probabilities for success from in general. Why is he able to, you think, complete some of those? The Hail Mary with the one, couple, you know, the Bengals one, I think one of the Ravens one. Why is he able to complete those in those situations?
Yeah, I think let's take the one from Sunday out, just because that's not normal. So, like, we'll take that one out. But I think we were talking about, like, at the Cincinnati one, a blitz coverage. Okay, I got a shot. It's one-on-one, but it does have to be in a precise nature to get there. I'd say a good bit of it comes from the work that the guys put in together. And you can remember even from training camp, extra early. I can remember when Noah Brown first got here, him doing extra with him. They hadn't had time to connect. And so little overtime moments like that, not overtime game, I'm saying extra work to put in with people pays dividends. And but you have to have, you know, space to do that. And I think that's a big piece of that.
You mentioned Johnny Newton stood out to you in the game the other day. What has your view of him in terms of, like, how you see him ultimately playing out, his role, has that changed at all since you've had him here? And just in general at this point, what do you kind of see him being?
I think it probably sped up some, Ben, you know, due to the injury to John. And so, of course, when we got him, you know, when he had setbacks with injuries, that's not something that you're prepared for. But I knew the player, and I knew, you know, days like Sunday were coming. And so to see that come to fruition and the confidence that goes along with that, I think that's really important. But I knew that part of his game was there, and we had seen it in practice. You guys hadn't seen it in the game yet, but I knew that was, we were knocking on the door for that.
And with regards to Jaden and Malik Nabers, obviously another game with both of them here, they both have clearly come into the league very strong. I don't know how much you studied Nabers because you were focused maybe on the quarterback, but what do you sense of the competitiveness between the two of them? Have that maybe pushed them both to get to this point and to succeed as they are?
Yeah, and I think both of them, I think you said the right word. It's the competitive nature of them. And that's true with a lot of players who, you know, come through LSU into that space, you know, like some guys that have really stood out into some spaces. And they're two that, you know, are demonstrating that over and over again. But oftentimes you can take that competitive nature a little higher when you have someone to do it with. And I sense that was probably the case with the two of them, and spending extra time and doing it together. There's a certain level that your skills will get to, but then if you get to do it with somebody else, it can rise up even more. And I sense that was probably the case with them. I don't know Malik, obviously, like I know Jaden, but man, was I impressed on the tape of what I saw.
Hi, Dan. You mentioned all the stuff, handling all the stuff. With that stuff comes the success, the limelight with all this winning. How do you want your team, your players, to embrace that success element?
Well, I think you've heard me say the word before, but it's poise, of knowing that there's, with confidence comes, like, you put the work in and you're confident to go play, but you have to have poise. And that's what you want, to make sure that, like, all the the moments happen because of the work that you put in, not just because they happen. And so I think that's what poise and confidence do, knowing that, like, we're able to do some things because of the work you put in, and that generates confidence to go play well. And so if you do that over and over again, then you start to, you know, create an identity and have confidence. And this team has a lot of humility as well. And that also, I think, is a big piece of staying in the moment and going to the next thing. And stuff can be lots of stuff. It's on the field, it's off the field. And just staying, like, with a lot of poise, I think, is a big piece of that.
NFL trade deadline is next week. There's been a lot of trades already this year. As a head coach, in your experience, how do you evaluate kind of your roster and try to figure out when to make a move, not make a move? Take me kind of through that process.
Yeah, and fortunately for me, you know, that's Adam. And we talk about the team every day, you know, and we'll be after practice going through the injury report and the game of, you know, what's next. So at this time of year, lots of phone calls are made. I don't know how many deals are made, but it's increased for sure over the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, and especially with the trade deadline moved back just a bit. I think that's added a little bit to it, but Adam's really the one that keeps me up to date and up to speed onto that.
I know you say that the schedule kind of precludes you from concentrating on what just happened, but do you have to say something to this team at all about, because the way that game ended, do you, to move them forward?
Yes. And, yeah, like most things, Chick, I'd rather talk about all of that. To say handling the stuff is dealing, both left tackles were out, and you handle the stuff. And, you know, dealing with injuries and coming back from, you know, being down, or the emotions that go with it, that's also part of it. How do we handle ourselves in the locker room, on the field? The next one, fortunately, there's some really cool leaders on this team that are able to step in and maybe be in the spaces that I'm not. And that's the guys like Wagner and Ertz and Luvu and many others that are ready to step into that, to that space, and knowing, hey, this is where we're going to lock in to go do our stuff. So you do have to reset, but I'd rather talk about it than assume it would happen. And so let's acknowledge it and then put the work back in before we get to go time.
Have you heard from the league on the Newton sack yet?
We have not, but we have absolutely addressed it. So we'll find out. It's certainly a pass play, so I'm hoping it goes his way.
You guys had the nail biter against the Giants week two. How different or better, how much better, how much different is this team now in week nine?
Well, I think what you want to see is, you know, teams improving as the season's going. And you have to demonstrate that on an every week basis. What I do know, this is going to be a tough battle. That's what it was week two, and that's what we're preparing for again. And that's kind of what part of the fun of division games are. You know, like, they're tough, they're bad. You have to have a five-quarter mindset to take it as far as you have to take it to go get the win. And we know we'll get their best shot, and in return, they'll get ours.
With the Giants' struggles this year and with Bobby coming from there, does it seem like perhaps – he got a raw deal up there, and the fresh opportunity here has really resonated for him? Because the old linemen talk about just how much he means to that whole group.
Yeah, he's really an excellent teacher. I won't speak to, you know, his time there, but what I can say is the impact that he's had here, you know, both in the run game, gun runs, under, the variations of those. And our offensive line is a really tight and connected group, and Bobby's, you know, right in the middle of all that. He and Darnell and Shane, as, you know, assistants and the guys, they have a really cool bond. They lean on one another, they take suggestions. So as far as a room goes, as a coach, that's what you're looking for.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach.
Good afternoon.
Kind of similar to JP's question, but more from a functional standpoint. Like, I know a lot of people say, like, you guys saw the Giants not that long ago, but really it's been quite a while in the,
yeah,
in the scope
seven.
Of the NFL picture. How much can you really lean on from that last competition as you're getting ready for this week, and how much do you need to kind of have fresh eyes looking at this as a new opponent?
Yeah, I think you have to do both, because you start, the first film I put on was our game against them. And because it thinks about the players and the matchups and what you did and what you didn't do and what you liked and what you didn't in all three phases. And so I like to watch the game just as it plays out. So from the kickoff, going to defense and to a punt, to whatever goes, as opposed to like watching it as just an offense and just a defense, especially like to see the whole thing play out. And that's where you start. And then you want to go from there. What's stayed the same and what's different? And so that's what you want to, you know, do your comparisons with what they've established. Just fantastic rushing the passer. And that's really one of the impacts they've made. But they've played strongly on third down. So there's a lot, you know, that I've seen them improve upon since our game. That was just, you know, the second game of the season. So maybe they were then that then, but it was too early to play it. So some talented guys, the receivers, obviously with the catch and run, the ability for what they can do. You've seen that play out, you know, over the last, you know, 2 months or so.
Time for three more.
And then they've gotten a lot more successful in their play action game, just successful down rates. Obviously there's a lot of contextual markers that go into that, but how much of that can you tie to the emergence of Tyrone Tracy as a running back?
Yeah, it's for sure a factor in the run game. It, you know, there's a real patience that you see with him in the run game. And then you add the play pass with it, and that's, to me, where offenses really can explode, where they look alike, feel alike, but, you know, play out differently.
Hi, Coach, again. Could you talk a little bit about what you're seeing in the secondary and mainly with Michael Sanders still in the last couple of weeks and what you're seeing from him?
Sure. I thought, one, you know, moving Mike outside was a big deal for us. And most of his experience had come inside in the slot. And so for him, when we moved outside, we thought that was the best move for the team. I love the tackling that I've seen. I saw that again on Sunday. Love the competitive nature that he brings to the group. But moving him outside was one that we wrestled with. You know, is this something we could do? And it turns out for us, it was the best move for us to do. From a secondary standpoint, I love the safeties and the communication that they have. And that's continuing to grow. Like, I see that with Chin and confidence on the sideline, the way they discuss things. Let's look for this. Let's watch for that. So that's the type of stuff you want to see as a coach. So sometimes in the game, it's what I see, but it's also what I hear.
Hey, Dan, I'm sure you get this question every week. I'm going to ask it again, but especially in light of what's been happening with some other of the younger quarterbacks in the league. One just had a moment of leadership and maturity question. Another top-round pick was bench. Jaden has shown massive maturity since the moment he stepped in, and I'm just wondering, like, when did you see that, and when did you become confident that you wouldn't have to worry about some of the growing pains of, like, the mentality?
Yeah, I would say there's probably two parts to that, and I'll answer it. I'll take one more after that. I got another minute. But the first one is I felt his football experience from all 5 years of playing, you know, from ASU to LSU. So there was a lot of football there. So when we threw new things at him, he was able to go. And the work ethic that you saw early on allowed that to happen. By us, you know, making him go compete for that position, I think that's an important step along the way for a player to demonstrate to his teammates, I'm down for it. I'm just can compete like everybody else has. And then I think the last piece for that is his humility. And he and Marcus share that common bond. It's Marcus's birthday today, but they're different in age, but they share this humility that goes along with him. I think their teammates really regard that because they'll put the extra work in, they'll ask the questions, and they'll defer to them as well. All right, I'm going to do one more, Sean.
Last one. Playing the Giants will be the first time that a team has seen Jaden twice in a season. What kind of challenges that, I guess, kind of provide for him and then for yourself as you prep him? How much do you delve into your own experience with kind of trying to play games with a rookie QB when you were at DC?
Yeah, I think, number one, you want to make sure that you always keep a you know, few wrinkles that's, you know, available for the next time that you're playing somebody. You have a game plan, and usually you haven't used all that was there, and you had some of that on your call sheet for a reason. And so you first thing you do is you pull that out and say, why didn't I use it, was it successful, what wasn't. So both teams have, you know, there'll be some new wrinkles that'll go with it, but at the end of it, trusting your reads and your preparation be the big thing. But usually in a division game, there's a couple things you keep in your back pocket for the second lap.
That was your head coach of the Washington Commanders, Dan Quinn, giving some insight on how Sunday went down. I feel like as this group gets geared up for this week, Dan Quinn mentioned some of the defensive linemen. Johnny Newton, a guy that continues to burst onto the scene. Giants, a team that wants to run the football. I think it's going to be huge for Johnny Newton to come up big on Sunday as well. That's going to do it, though, here for this Wednesday night edition of Overtime. You can keep the conversation going with me on social media. It's at NELL_BTP. Tech Talk Live coming up next.